Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Pete McCall, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the All About Fitness podcast. For this episode, I am not doing a voice in the beginning. That's because this episode is a pickup and a continuation. It's a part two conversation with the 2022 Personal Trainer of the Year and one of my oldest friends in fitness, Mr. Rick Ritchie. What I'm doing in this conversation is we're following up with... Okay, I made a mistake. I have a full-time job. I have two calendars. I have my job calendar. I have my podcast calendar. And apparently I did not do a good job of syncing them up because I had scheduled to record the podcast with Rick and I got scheduled for a very important meeting with my boss and somebody else that I could not reschedule. Part one of this conversation, we covered some of the trends that are going to be happening, some of the trends we'll be seeing in fitness for 2023 and beyond. For part two of the conversation though, Rick and I, we talk about the trends, but then we go into a conversation just about fitness overall. And really, we have, between the two of us, we have about 50 years of experience helping people improve their lives through exercise. Rick has a doctorate in physical therapy. He's been working with clients for a number of years. I've been doing the same thing. And what you're going to hear in this conversation is some insights and some observations, not just about exercise, but how we can use activity, physical activity, to achieve a better life. We started out talking about trends. We started out talking about fitnessy, exercisey things. But in the end, my old friend Rick Ritchie and I, we just talk about really the difference that fitness and exercise, it just allows you to do so much in life. And that's the real message. Fitness gives you freedom. And here's Rick Ritchie, the 2022 Personal Trainer of the Year, to tell you how. All right, on this episode of All About Fitness, I, the scheduling master, the ex of the guy who can really run his calendar. This time I checked, Rick, I'm cleared. I put this in my calendar. I'm all set. It's Rick Ritchie. I'm talking to Rick Ritchie. You're back again. We're talking fitness trends. Rick, how are you doing, man? How's your weekend?
It's good. Thanks. You know, we kind of go through long periods of time where we don't talk to each other and then we catch up like old friends. But I mean, this is just a few days apart now. So I feel like this is a special moment for us.
I know. It's like, we're going to go do a little workout, get coffee, do all that afterwards. I wanted to follow up on trends because one of the things, Rick, in the trends list is looking at a lot of people. Here's the thing, Rick. And for the listener out there, I apologize about this, but this is the absolute truth. We are all the oldest we've ever been right now. We are all the oldest. You know what I mean? I mean, you look at it that way. But one of the big trends, and we can't do anything about the process of aging, but obviously we are paying a lot more attention to exercise and aging. What have you noticed, Rick? What was, when you first started, when you were a trainer years ago, and you started working with quote unquote, and I'm going to use an air quotes here, and you started working with people who are like 20, 25 years older than you. What were some of your concerns and how did you approach that as a young person?
Yeah, you mean people that were 45 and 50?
Exactly. Old people.
And I say oldies, that. Oldies.
Because that's our ages now.
Yeah. I remember it was kind of, it was don't hurt them. Don't hurt it. And I think, I mean, obviously that's true for anybody that you train, but that was something to be fearful of, like be afraid. Don't hurt anybody. Let's not overdo it. And then every once in a while you look out in the gym and you see a lot of people in their 40s and 50s and 60s. And there are a lot of people who were crushing it physically. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, but in my head, they were such anomalies. They were like, wow, when I get to be that old, I want to be like that guy. I see that so much more now than I remember seeing it back then. It's probably because I'm more in tune to it. It's probably because these are my peers now that I'm in the gym with, and I see them, my fellow, as I'm 45, people that are my age, and I'm like, we're not old. We complain about things that bother us. So we sound like we're old, especially in jiu-jitsu, where I'm talking to guys my age and we're holding our backs and hips and all of these things, and we laugh about it. But you know, this is one of the things that we're talking about is really what are we seeing for an older population? And I think some of the cool stuff that we've seen in the research is all those things that we were told to be afraid of and to not do is actually really good for people as they age. So,
well, that's just it, man. I remember being in my 20s, having just learned how to teach indoor cycling or spinning, and I'd go up and I would do the carbonin formula, 220 minus age, minus resting heart rate, and come back in. And I would give like somebody in class, I'd say, well, here's what your target heart rate should be. And this person is maybe in their late 40s, early 50s, and this is late 1990s. So we're talking 20, 25 years ago. So this person was like 25 years older than me. And they would look at me and they go, this says my max is 150 beats a minute. I barely feel like I'm working when I'm 150 beats a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that it was that time, Rick, in the late 90s when I started realizing, because I was going on everything in the textbook. I was like going, okay, this is what the textbook said for working. But talking to people, it's like, hey, that's way too low. Do you think, I mean, I think when we look at the research on it, we don't have it right, because there's never really been a population of older adults like we have now who've been exercising throughout their lifespan. Because when you think about it, when you look at some of the research they've been doing and up until now, I mean, the research they've done on older adults, they've always looked at an older adult population. They've taken an older adult population that was relatively unfit, that didn't exercise. Mm-hmm. They did an exercise intervention, and then they study that intervention. But I don't think there's been that much research on people in their 50s who've been exercising throughout the duration of their lifespan. What's your thought on that? Do you think we have a missing? Because then my hypothesis is, Rick, we have a whole bunch of missing data about kind of like how exercise really mitigates aging.
I think that there's a lot of missing information, and there's a lot of overwhelming information that's still out there showing how well, how good exercise is for aging. But I also want to crack this nut open is that it's not just exercise, but it's regular physical activity. So not just set aside for the gym, but being more active throughout the day. And I've been blessed to be invited to be the keynote speaker for the IDEA Personal Training Institute in Alexandria, Virginia. And one of the things I'm talking about is activity. And there's some research out there that shows that you can exercise an hour a day and still be a sedentary individual. And that was really shocking to me. It just didn't compute.
And I'm going to jump in, because thank you for that call out, Rick. Thank you. I try to make a point of talking about physical activity, and here I go into it. I like talking about exercise, but you're absolutely right. I mean, so describe that. What does that mean? I mean, because I think we get so honed in on this. I need to go to the gym. I need to go to the studio. I need to do my workout. So talk about that. I'm going to refresh my coffee just because I'm listening. I'm going to refresh. But talk about what you mean by that, that physical activity.
Yeah. So I got to be honest, there are a lot of things where you hear people talk about, what do I need to do to lose weight? And they say, well, you got to be more physical active. And then they start talking about what that looks like. And what that looks like is, you know, standing more often, walking throughout the day, taking the stairs instead of the escalator or the elevator. If you're in the city, New York, right? Like get off one stop early on the subway. All of those very, very relatively small things that add up to a lot of things. And yet, here's the problem. This is the problem with that approach, Pete, is it seems too simple to work, so people don't do it. And when it seems too, like the gym sounds great because it's hard, it's challenging, it dominates you physically. I'm exhausted, I'm breathing heavily, I'm sweating. And so that must be working. But when you look at the calories throughout the day that are spent, you spend a lot more calories doing nothing than exercising. So if you can be a bit more active, then your activity calories that you do hours throughout the day versus exercise that you may do for an hour, usually involving a lot of rest in between. So that time that you're actually exercising, you're going to do a lot, you're going to burn a lot more calories just by being mobile, just by moving. And there is a lot of research out there that talks about the dangers of sedentary behavior and what that's, how that's dangerous for us physiologically, increasing our morbidity and mortality rate because we're not getting up and moving. And some of the research is so good, it just means they, it shows getting up and walking for 3 minutes. Some research showing for 5 minutes. Some research shows take the stairs up and then walk down leisurely and just do that for 3 minutes. Like real simple stuff. And it seems to mitigate all of these adverse reactions. So even so, this is why I tell people to drink water. And I'm like, it's not so much because of the water drinking. It's because we want you to go to the bathroom every 30 minutes. You at least get up.
But you broke that down so well, Rick, and you're absolutely right. Because I have to say, I mean, when I was a trainer working in DC, working in Washington, DC, Monica would drop me off in the morning at one of the gym, whatever gym I was starting out that morning. Monica would be on her way to her work at her full-time job, and she would drop me off at the gym, and I'd usually walk my happy butt home. The furthest walk I had was about 2 miles. The shortest walk was about a mile. So I was probably walking, but besides training and teaching classes, I was probably walking 2 to 5 miles a day, depending on where I was going. And I was down as easy. That was in my late 20s, mid 30s. And I don't think I ever popped the scale at 200 ever. You know what I mean? Just, and I could eat whatever the F I wanted. That's where I got that bad habit, just because I was so active. But then I took the job with Ace and moved to Southern California, and I was working in an office. And then, you know, even for the first 2 or 3 years we lived here, Rick, we're trying to do the good East Coast thing. We lived about a mile and a half from the gym. We taught there 1 or 2 nights a week. We'd get done with work. We'd meet, we'd have something to snack, and then we'd walk to the gym and walk home. And it was finally, once Monica was pregnant, she's like, screw this, I'm not walking a mile. but where I live now, the reason where I'm going with that is we have choices to make. We have choices for how we live our life. And knowing what I know and having read exercise physiology, I now live in a place where I'm less than a kilometer from a series of hiking and mountain bike trails. I'm right across the street from my gym and grocery store and coffee shop. So here I am in suburban Carlsbad, but I can walk to everywhere I go. And that really that was a deliberative choice because it allows me to be more active throughout the day. And that ties in because that ties back into the aging thing, Rick. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we can work out 3 or 4 times a week in a gym, but dude, I get bored with the gym, man. As much as I love it. And I work for one. I work for a big health club company. But as much as I love it, like, how have your habits changed as you've gotten a little bit older? I know you still do jujitsu, but do you try to get out more? I mean, I know for years we're like aggressive, let's go. And now, do you find yourself looking more towards kind of like maybe activity that more fulfills you and not doesn't necessarily challenge you?
Yeah. So I am blessed that I live in New York City. So, and there are some things that make it not a blessing, but some of the blessings are, it's a very walkable city. There's a lot of pedestrian, it's pedestrian friendly, clearly. It is getting more and more bike friendly. So I oftentimes use an electric scooter that I own, and I go to work, but then I like, you know what? I need to spend more time on the bike. So riding the bike to work, it takes me 20 minutes to get to work. It takes me 20 minutes to get back. That's 40 minutes of additional activity because I just decided to ride my bike. So, but that's not just a New York City thing. There are a lot of people, who don't, but a lot of people who live a 20-minute bike ride from university, from their work, from where they go to school, from where they go to leisure time activity. So I think that that's something that people should really consider a little bit more, is that like it doesn't take that much longer to get to where you're going, but you do kind of check off those physical activity points there. So I think that's valuable, and that's something that I've been doing a lot more of. And then jiu-jitsu, which I started in August of not last year, but the year before. So by the time we're recording this, it's been just shy of a year and a half. It's not friendly to my body necessarily, but it is mentally so stimulating. I get a great workout. I look like, and then my clothes appear as if I just went swimming in a gi. They're so wet. I'm soaked. I work hard. My heart rate's elevated. And I'm getting better at pacing myself so I don't hurt as much, because when you're, it's usually the newer people that get hurt, not because people are hurting them, but because they hurt themselves by trying to do too much, not by not doing jujitsu, but trying to be faster or stronger or more dynamic. And I'm trying to cut that out and just focus on technique. And that is helping me orthopedically. But dude, that's like, that's my mental stimulation. And it's physical stimulation. It's mental. I get the whole thing. I don't get that at the gym. Don't get me wrong. I do still like doing, dumbbell snatches and stuff like that and getting my heart rate up, but it doesn't mentally stimulate me. I did Muay Thai for a long time as well. And competed in kickboxing. So that's another thing, just keeps me mentally stimulated more than the gym, but the gym is home. Well, right? That's where I spend most of my time.
I love the way you kind of, you said that with a mental stimulation, because I think as we get a little bit older, exercise, from my experience, Rick, and this is just me, because I look at, right. When you're younger, you think you're like, I'm going to work out. I got to look good. I got to get the girl. I got to, get attention. I got to do this. Now, I mean, you mentioned that like jujitsu, and I knew you're a martial artist. I didn't realize you just picked up jujitsu. I think as we age, I think exercise becomes more of a task, more of a purpose oriented. Like you talk about riding your bike to get somewhere, and like where you're going out for a hike. Maybe I'm going to go rather than go to the gym and walk on a treadmill or take a cardio class. Let me go take a walk by the ocean, and here's something. Yeah. I mean, Rick, I complain about how expensive it is in Southern California, but I love Southern California. For the last maybe 3 or 4 months, every weekend, I've been extremely intentional about going down to the ocean and taking a walk by the ocean, and it's just like every weekend I try to find maybe 45 minutes to an hour to listen to a podcast and go walk by the ocean. I know this sounds a little bit out there. And for the listener out there, you might go, dude, what are you talking about? So you could get out of Southern California, leave the wacky tobacco alone. They're pumping out too much weed out there. But in reality, but there is something energetically about walking along the ocean, about staring. And I'm not on the sand. I'm on like a walking path, maybe a quarter mile, half a mile from the ocean. But it's the walking path is up on the cliffs. So I can see like the whole vista. I can see from La Jolla up to Orange County, and I can see, but there's something to me, Rick, about going out for a nice long walk. That's kind of like a reset and a recharge. And again, we're talking about exercise and fitness for older adults. And I think as we age, I think we appreciate the fact, I think we learn to appreciate the fact that we have the opportunity to be physically active. And where I'm going with this, and we'll switch and we'll talk about one of the other trends, but do you notice that in yourself? Do you notice yourself? I guess, as I say this, it's kind of like, are we really getting to that point where we're slowing down and taking time to smell the flowers? Is that where we are?
Yeah. I think you might be right. we're getting there. And, I even admit some jealousy with my dad, even though I wish that he would be more physically active. I see him being a grandparent and I get jealous, right? Like, man, that's a great gig. Not that I want to not be a parent right now, but like, I look at that kind of stuff. There are some things that the life that he's living as an older man, and I see that and I value it. But one of the things that concerns me is the lack of physical activity. As he gets older and things hurt more, or as he gets winded faster, rather than what I still do and what you still do is, let me meet that. Where do I get winded? Let me find that point. Let me see if I can push it back a little bit farther, or hold it off. And as a lot of people, majority of people get older, they step away from it. I don't want to get to that point. And of course, when you step away from it, it chases you down. So it keeps following you as far as you let it go. And so I try to encourage people, as always, do what you can, not what you can't. Don't push yourself beyond where you're comfortable. Not true, but get a little uncomfortable but be comfortable with it. Find a comfortable space, a comfortable pace, a comfortable intensity that you can get just a little uncomfortable with and keep trying to push that stuff off.
I'm letting that breathe for a moment because that really is. I mean, that is the job of a fitness professional, Rick, a job of a fitness professional. Our role is to help the client be comfortable, be uncomfortable, right? Yeah. We have to coach the client how to be comfortable being uncomfortable because it's that discomfort that causes growth, right? Whether that's physical discomfort making you stronger or whether that's emotional discomfort from having to walk through something challenging, discomfort causes growth. And now I want to acknowledge something because listeners might not be able to pick up on this, but I know you're from, I was about to say Australia, but I know you're from Alabama. I know they talk funny in both places. So pardon me if I mistake Australia for Alabama. but in all seriousness, I mean, you're from Alabama. So you grew up in a very, very different,
baby.
And I say you grew up in a different movement culture. Right. Because you talked about being in Manhattan is a whole different movement culture. How do you vision, you know, you've been exposed to the Alabama, the Southern, the Gulf states, you know, kind of exercise movement culture. Mm-hmm. You've been exposed to the East Coast urban movement culture. As you project 20 years into the future, when you are going to be retiring, how do you see knowing what you know about fitness, what is your vision for how you want to retire as an active older adult? Ooh. And that will wrap up the conversation there.
That's great. I think I would like to be somewhere similar back to my youth, which was, the youth growing up, we weren't allowed to watch much TV, but my brothers and I were yelled at constantly to go outside. Go outside and do that. Go outside and do your roughhousing. Go outside. And we would go outside. We'd just get lost and we'd be gone for hours and hours and hours in the woods, playing, exploring. That was like a big thing. We wanted to explore the woods, even things that we've been to before. We wanted to explore and climb on and experience. And so I want that in the future. And I don't care if that's out in the woods. I don't care if it's along a beach on a walking path. You know, I want to go and experience and explore, and that's what I would like to see. Now, if that's an urban environment, which I don't foresee, I think we'll still like try to keep our place here. But then in the future, when we are more financially fit, that we can go and have a home outside of the city and keep our small apartment in the city.
Yeah, and I think that's a good mix of kind of combining it. But I say that because, right, we talk about retirement planning a lot, and we talk financial retirement planning. And I never thought about this before, but I really do think this is something I might bring up again in the podcast, is as people plan for their retirement, also plan for your lifestyle retirement. You know, what type of lifestyle do you want to live? Like, where do you want to be? Like, I see myself as much, you know, I don't know if I'd stay in the San Diego area. I could see somewhere moving to the mountains. I enjoy mountain activities. I enjoyed the winter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but as I'm looking ahead and planning my financial retirement, I'm also in the back of my mind trying to plan what type of life do I want to live? I want to be active and I want to do this. I want to do that. And I do want to pick up activities. Like you said, jujitsu is on my list. Pickleball. Do you see? I mean, now, because think about it, Rick. I mean, I'm entering my 50s. This is like a new golden era where people our age that grew up in the 80s. Now we're active, we're fit, we have a little bit, we have some resources, we have some money in the bank, maybe not in Southern California, but you know what I mean? We have that, it's that time of life where we can get out there. What type of activities do you think, I mean, you're starting jujitsu, what type of activities do you think are possible now to people in their 50s and 60s that maybe weren't available to us 20 years ago because we're now, because we are this fitness level, we are managing the aging process well. What type of activities do you think will be available to an aging population?
Well, first, let me throw back briefly to a population of people that have an understanding that cardiorespiratory fitness and physical fitness is beneficial to longevity. And that started even before we started training, back when Kenneth Cooper came up with the term aerobics and the ACSM started researching cardiorespiratory training and how that helps as medication for us without actually having to take medication. It is our medicine. Moving from exercise as medicine to physical activity as medicine, we have all grown up with knowing that physical activity, that exercise is something that's good for us. And so everybody tries to find these little things that they can do. Some are, clearly you mentioned pickleball. That is the most significant sports phenomenon that has happened in a very, very long time. And it has taken off. In fact, in New York City, they've banned pickleball from some of the parks because they're stealing space from children to play by setting up pickleball courts. And they are no longer allowing pickleball to be played at some of these places. So they're going to have to start doing specific pickleball areas in the parks in New York City just to account for it.
I kind of giggle, but we're experiencing the same thing here. I mean,
really,
dude, I mean, we are, I mean, there, people are going to, I mean, the tennis players and the pickleball folks are going to war. I mean, you're seeing gang fights, you're seeing the sheriff fly units out at certain parks on the, no, of course not. But in all seriousness, there is a scarcity
of the sharks battling supply. Each other.
Exactly, man. You see these little ladies, they got their baseball bats, they're opening up the backs of the Lexuses, they're getting their baseball bats and the chains out. And you know, it's like, it's a little awkward when Mabel has to set the walker aside and starts two-handing with a baseball bat on somebody's knee. but you think about it, but we're pulling this back, but think about it, man.
This is from Maribel.
Exactly. But we have this whole, but the fact is people are getting out and doing something, whether it's pickleball or yoga or jujitsu or something.
Like soccer, dude, mom hits on, dude, people.
but look at it. I mean, people are staying active much, much longer in how they're doing that. Now, one thing to wrap up here, and I want, because another trend, and I want to talk about this with you a little bit, because this has been our career for the last 20 years. So it'd be kind of silly not to. And that's on working with fitness professionals, right? Because I know, I mean, that's what I do. I help try to manage a team of more than 800 personal trainers. So that's, we all know what a special challenge that is. But when we look at it, what is the benefit? And Rick, you've been working with the National Academy of Sports Medicine now for almost 20 years. You've been one of their leading educators. If somebody's going to start a workout program, what is the benefit? If somebody says, well, why should I hire a personal trainer? What's your elevator pitch? Why should somebody hire a personal trainer?
Yeah, it used to be, you know, people would hire personal trainers for resistance training only. And then nobody could tell you a good reason for resistance training because all the research was from cardiorespiratory training. So, and of course, my favorite, and I'll get into the pitch, my favorite is when you're working with people and, or you're trying to, and they're very interested. And then they say this, just let me get in shape first. And then I'll work with a personal trainer. And that to me was always the most baffling thing. That's like, let me learn how to speak Spanish and then I'll get a Spanish tutor. Like, it just never made sense to me. So let's get the ball rolling right. Let's get it in the right direction. Let's set a path. So that's what a personal trainer does. They're going to help support you with your form and technique, safest ways to lift. And I think for any good trainer, the first and foremost thought is, how can I do this safely? So what is the safest way to go through lifts, focusing on form and technique? How do I set up a program? And then let me deliver a program. Like, you can hire me to create your program for the next 3 months or 6 months, right? You don't need to hire me to train you for 1 hour, but you may want to hire my services to develop a program for you after I take you through an assessment. So I can find out what your goals are, and then I can deliver a path to you to help you more safely and efficiently get to what you're trying to get.
Because I think there's such a unique relationship, Rick, between, and I'm just trying to think of the question, how I'm going to ask this, because where I want to go with this is, one of the biggest benefits, I think, for the average consumer and for the listener out there, you may or may not have worked with a personal trainer. Heck, you may or may not have worked with either Rick or myself. But I really think one of the biggest benefits of a personal trainer is in that accountability and just having somebody there to kind of be a guide by your side. What role do you think that, what part of that? And I think as a younger personal trainers, I think You get so honed in on the exercise side. You get so honed in on the hard skills of developing a workout and giving somebody a great workout that as a young trainer in the first couple of years, you don't really understand the soft skills of developing that relationship and of really coaching somebody maybe how to make a healthier choice. So when you look at that, what do you think if you were to go back, if you were to rewind 20, 25 years, how do you think you would approach maybe your education in that area a little bit differently?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that that's something I had always prided myself on was my ability to interact and engage with clients, right? So can we make this enjoyable? Can I be somebody that you're accountable to? And can I push you harder than you would have pushed yourself? And I can't ever really push somebody to work harder. My job is to encourage that, right? Like when we say push, we're not physically doing things to make them work harder. We are talking to them and trying to get more out of them. What is the extra push that they can do? And so I think an easy way to look at this, Pete, is for instance, when I would work with somebody for the first time. So it might be a complimentary session when I was working at a big gym. And so people that were members, they would get a complimentary session introduction to the gym. And I would spend a lot of time talking to them. But then at the end, they would have about 15 minutes left. And I would say, let's go through and do a brief workout. And this would be after the assessment, maybe some nice little prep, and then do a brief workout. And after that workout, which may have only really lasted about 6 to 10 minutes, I would say, if we took that what we did in that 6 to 10 minutes, and we turned that into 50 minutes of the workout, and we do a warm up, we do a cool down, you maybe come in a few minutes early, do you see yourself reaching your goals faster doing what we just did in a short amount of time? Given the means, if you have the means and the opportunity, do you see yourself getting to your goals faster? So I don't like telling people what to expect. I like providing them the experience and then them telling me what they expect. Do you believe it? Because I can talk to you and I can tell you how good I am and what I'll do to get you there, but it's your experience. And when I provide that experience to somebody, it answers the question without me having to tell them what it is. So the experience, who I am as a person, spending the time talking to them initially, getting to know them. And I think a lot of times people jump right into workouts without spending time getting to know you. And people don't want to work out necessarily with you just because you gave a good workout. They want to work out with you because they trust you and you'll give a good workout. And that's why that time is so valuable when you talk with somebody for a little while before going into the workout. And that's where I would spend most of my time. And I still do that. I encourage people to spend time learning and understanding their clients and then figuring out how to apply that workout. And that, my friend, is where we connect with people. They connect with us as a person, and then they connect with us in what we can do for them. And we answer their questions before they can even ask them a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm letting that breathe for a second because, and also too, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of us that work in this industry that do what we do, I mean, we love exercise, right? We will love, I mean, it may not be Mr. or Mrs. Johnny Sixpack, you know, bodybuilding competitor, but we understand the role that activity plays, and we're people that like sharing that. Where I'm going with this and what my mind went with while you're talking, and I'm thinking what you're saying, Rick, that's so poignant, is everybody has certain things they're interested in that kind of guides with their career, right? If you like helping people, you could become a doctor, a nurse, a teacher. If you enjoy numbers, you could go into finance, accounting. And I think for those of us that choose this profession, we enjoy being active. We enjoy the feeling it provides. And we're passionate about helping others try to capture that feeling. And that's really where I would say to the listener is if you've been on that cycle about, okay, I know cognitively, I know I need to exercise. And really, I don't mind it. I like doing it. I just don't know what to do and how often to do it. I think that's the biggest thing that we provide as a personal trainer is just that sort of pat on the back and say, what you're doing right now is right. And what you're going to do tomorrow is right. You know, and also I think the other thing that we do sometimes, Rick, and I'll be interested in your take on this, and we can wrap it up, is I look at it too sometimes. It's like, Rick, it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do yesterday. Let's absolve you right now. And for the listeners, I'm making the sign of the cross. I'm making an absolution sign of the cross. Is I absolve you from any of your sins of what you did yesterday or the day before or the day before. I cannot change what you did or did not do yesterday. I can't change that. However, what can I change? I can change what we do today. And hopefully I put you in the mindset so when you wake up tomorrow, maybe you make a couple better choices tomorrow. How important do you think it is for a personal trainer, for us with our clients? Because sometimes clients need that absolution. You know, I think people worry about and they beat themselves up. Oh, I did this. I did that. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And they need somebody in our position. It's almost like a priest during a confessional. Say eight Hail Marys and whatever. Don't do. You know what I mean? I mean, have you experienced that? And how powerful is that? How powerful is that role that a personal trainer plays?
Yeah, this is really an important topic. And so I'm going to start off talking about as what you were talking about really is that people get caught up, even people who are on a roll, and then they find themselves a long weekend. And then in the long weekend, they're not getting out of the house very much. So they're being a little more sedentary than they normally were. And then they grab some of the kids' snacks, and then they eat a little bit more of those snacks. And they're like, oh, let me get, you know, my Chipotle with extra rice and cheese. Like, I love it. I just went. And then they eat the whole thing. They don't save anything for later. And then they're full and they feel disgusted. But then an hour or two later, they're hungry again and they're grabbing snacks. And so in their head, in this story, what happens is now they start to feel guilty. And all of the things that they've done for the past week or two means nothing because they just did this. And so they tell themselves this story, and this is what we call a downward spiral, this negative story that we've done something wrong, and I might as well keep doing wrong because I've been doing right, and that didn't help. So let me hit the pause button, and I want to talk about a researcher by the name of Barbara Fredrickson, who has done a lot of research on what she calls upward spirals. And if we could focus more on the positive and stop ruminating on the negative, and let's talk about what you did do. And let's think about what you did in order to make this happen. And though you maybe sat on the couch, you were like, I know I did that. And so I, in my head, I'm like, let me get up and just walk more. And so I call my mom on the phone and I decide to pace, right? So now I'm pacing and I'm doing that physical activity thing. I'm not trying to make up for the calories that I've eaten. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to be positively physically active. And through that going, oh, this is what I did. I saw progress in that. How can I build on top of that? So she doesn't initially call it upward spirals. She calls it broadening and building, taking the positive that you've done, broaden it and build on top of it, broaden and build on top of it, which is an upward spiral. And then that starts to be made applicable to different things in our lives. And so you start to get a downward spiral in your food. You might start to experience downward spirals in other parts of your life as well. What she's saying is that broadening and building and that confidence, what you've done right and building on what you've done that you feel really good about, as you broaden and build that goes beyond just your fitness. It can go out into your relationship with your children and your partner and your business partners and your clients and that kind of stuff. That is the experience we want to give people. We want to be that ray of light. We want to pinpoint what you did well. We want to focus on what you're doing, that progress can be made, and then create an active process of ongoing betterment. And if we can facilitate that, we can be the one who says, I know you may not see it, but I see this. Let me point it out. Build on top of that. That, my friend, can start getting people out of the hole that they dig. And sometimes they actively dig it. They're like, if I did this wrong, I started digging this hole. Now I'm going to dig it deeper, even though I don't want to be in there. And they dig and they dig and they jump inside and dig more. And what we're saying is, look, there's a little mound. So now build that mound up a little bit higher and stand on top of it, and build it up a little bit higher and stand on top of it, and start working your way in the other direction, building on the small positive changes that you're making.
That's, I mean, and for the listener there, that really is a key, right? If you do one thing right today, awesome. Don't focus on what you did right. And when you wake up tomorrow, do that right thing and try to add one thing, you know, that 1%. Years ago, Rick, I learned about, somebody taught me about Kaizen, a job I had, the art of continuous improvement, improving 1% at a time. And that leads right into this habit stacking. I think one of the authors I interviewed about a year and a half ago talked about stacking, you know, positive habits, building positive habits.
Yeah.
And that really is, I mean, that does create that cycle. And that really is for the listener, you're looking at making this a habit. This is not getting in shape for the summer. This is not getting in shape to wear a dress. This is not getting in shape for a reunion. This is a lifestyle. And you have Rick, who's the personal trainer of the year, recognized among, I don't know how many tens, hundreds of thousands of personal trainers. And you have this old man here who've been doing it a long time. And we're telling you, this is, I mean, look, this is not something you do short term. This is something you do. And you know what? If you're not having a good day and you're not going to be able to make it to the gym, go for a 20-minute walk. You know, take the stairs. Yeah. Get home. I love when you're talking that earlier. I mean, one of the things you're so blessed about living in the city, and I've done this when I've been traveling, you know, if I don't get a workout and I'm on the 8th or 9th floor of a hotel, I walk all the way up to my hotel room. It might take me 20 minutes and I'm sweaty as F when I get up there.
Yeah.
But you know what? At the very least, I'm getting my hotel room. I got a little sweat on. I climbed up the stairs. And it's done. Right. And
that, you have unlimited hot water though, so that's nice.
Well, exactly. And, you know, but that's the thing. You go shower. And I say that, Rick, not because we're better than anybody else. You and I are not better than anybody else. We have happened to have chosen careers where our job, we get paid to think about other people's physical activity. Doesn't mean we're better. Just it's what we focused on. I cannot tell you how to score money off a derivative. I couldn't tell you how to stop. You know, I certainly can't tell you how to work on the nerve and the eyeball, but I can help you develop a habit. And that really is, you know, kind of coming back to it. Yeah. But that would be my advice for people out there, is just build on the positive habits. It's not about the gym. It's just about consistency, man. So what are you up to this year, Rick? Let people give people a few. I know you do a lot of work for the National Academy of Sports Medicine. I know. And actually, you said that, dude, I'm looking forward. I'll be there at the PT Institute too.
Advisory board.
Good. So I'll be throwing things. I'll be standing in the back. I'll wear a cute little outfit for you, Rick. And I'll send out, I'll do little flirty things with you. No, I would never do that to a friend and colleague while they're speaking, but what you guys,
I just want you to stand up and go, that's not what that article says. Like any research I point out, I just want you to be like, no.
No, I never did. If anything, I'll be the first one to stand up and give you that standing ovation. What you got going on this year, man? What's going to be happening in your world?
A couple things. So I've got the NASM CPT podcast. So I've been doing that 2 episodes a week as much as I can, as long as we don't have holidays and things like that jumping in the way. This is of interest. I will be traveling to Egypt in February for a presentation at a conference there. And so I'm taking my family, my kids out of school, and we're going to Egypt. So they're going to go with me. And I thought that would be pretty cool.
Are you on WhatsApp?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so let me put you in touch. I know a guy in Egypt, one of the lead trainers for Gold's Gym there. He's a sprinter.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's a sprinter on the national team. He's like one of the, he was doing some work with Nautilus.
Oh, that's cool.
I met him in Dubai a little bit more than a year ago. So Nautilus was looking at bringing him on as a master trainer in Egypt. So so
it's cool.
I got a guy.
Yeah, that's dude. Really cool. Yeah,
Egypt. How awesome is that? How long will you be there?
I know. We're going to do about 9 or 10 days, I think. So conference is 2 days. I don't know what my wife and kids will be doing while I'm at the conference, but
what have you heard about the fitness market in North Africa? Anything?
So I had somebody that I've met. So just a brief phone call, and they are emerging. So they're kind of an older school approach, and so that's why some of the things that we do in the States seem pretty innovative, because it's still very much gym culture is oftentimes a bodybuilding culture, and we're looking to say, well, what other aspects can we fit in there, not getting rid of bodybuilding, but, you know, what other markets, how else can we draw people into the gym and show value in fitness to people beyond getting their swell on? So that's going to be a big thing for us. So the PT of the year. So as the idea personal trainer of the year, 2022, I expect I will be there at 2023 to introduce the new winner. So I'll definitely be at Idea World. That'll be something on the docket. And I'm sure NASM's got some goodies hold up for me as well. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm probably looking at expanding the gyms that I have. So adding in one more location this year as well.
I might have to call you about investing, man. I might have to call in we can corner the New York fitness market. What are your socials, Rick? I know you're busy, man. You got your empire you're building, but how can people track you down and find out where you're going to be?
Fantastic. I'm mostly available on Instagram, and it's at dr.rickrichey, RickRichey.
Hey man, Doc, I keep forgetting that, dude. I mean, we've known so long. I should throw that respect out there. thank you, man. Thank you. And I apologize about the scheduling mix up, but hey, this allowed us to talk to each other twice. And I think, Rick, I'm going to try to circle back and try to make you a somewhat regular guest, maybe once a quarter, just to kind of chop it up a little bit. And, looking at changing the format a little bit. I'm thinking about bringing on a female co-host. So that's cool. For the listener out there. Yeah. I'm going to kind of maybe mix it up a few things. So, hey man, Rick Ritchie, personal trainer of the year, NASM master trainer, just all around awesome guy. I appreciate you, man. And I really appreciate our friendship. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you. Thanks.
I have so much respect and love for that man. I do. I mean, you can hear it when we talk, and he really is truly one of my oldest friends in this business. Now, if you want to learn more, if you want to kind of learn more overall about exercise, about fitness, about just really what we're talking about, because guys, it is not about making big muscles. It's not about how you look. I mean, yes, those things are important, but really it's about longevity. It's about feeling. It's about using exercise to really have the opportunity to do all those things you want to do in life. You want to learn pickleball? Great. You want to learn jiu-jitsu? Great. You want to learn out here to Southern California? If you can afford to live here, you want to learn surfing and snowboarding and skiing? By all means, you can do all that. And if you want to learn how to do that as you age, you can pick up Smarter Workouts, The Science of Exercise Made Simple. That's my first book. It teaches you how to design exercise programs. Ageless Intensity goes into the science of how high-intensity exercise can really slow down the aging process. That's what Rick and I were talking about. And then finally, the other books I have, Dynamic Anatomy, Functional Core Training, Exercise for the Fountain of Youth, these are ebooks, and they're all kind of collections of articles and blogs and workouts that I've created over the years. They give you a lot of insight into how to design workout programs. That's why I do the podcast. I try to bring you great information. I try to help you learn how to use exercise to enhance your quality of life. And I have those resources to help you available to do that. I'm not going to put things behind a paywall. I'm not going to try to jam supplements down your throat. I am going to try, however, to point you in the direction of resources that can help you learn how to use exercise to enhance your quality of life. And if you do it right, live longer and more enjoyable. Hey, with that, you have contact information. You know that, all that stuff. Contact information down below. Thanks for tuning in. And I do look forward to having you join me for future episodes of All About Fitness.